Now we're ready to talk about gifts of healings and workings of miracles. In your Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 9, it says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. The gifts of healing are listed forth in the listing of the gifts or the manifestations of the Spirit in verses 8, 9, and 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's listed forth because four is the number for the world. You have four seasons. You have, you know, summer, winter, spring, and fall. You have four basic directions of the compass, north, south, east, and west. You have God, who is the number one for one God, and three, you know, one plus three is four. Three is completeness. When God put His works into the world with completeness, He created the universe. He created the world in which we live. And gifts of healings is listed forth because it's healings that will move your ministry out into the world. You see, healing, the immediate profit of healing is the deliverance of the person. But the long-range profit of healing is in evangelism. Healing is evangelistic. And a man or a woman who has the ministry of an evangelist, he really has to believe God and see the power of God work in light of the ministry of healing and the gifts of healings. Every one of us, filled with the Holy Spirit, can be led by the Spirit to minister healing. Every one of us, filled by the Holy Spirit, can be led by the Spirit to minister healing. But there will be certain manifestations or certain gifts that you will have special abilities in. See? And if you're called to the ministry of an evangelist, you really need to be operating in the gifts of healings. You really need to be operating very dynamically in the gifts of healings. And the people who are truly called evangelists and are truly called to that ministry will have a long suit or will have a special gifting or a special anointing to minister healing. Because healing is evangelistic. Healing by its nature is evangelistic. And it will bring many, many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, people need to have their needs met. People need to receive the goodness of God. And it says that the goodness of God brings a man to faith. The goodness of God calls a man to salvation. And when a man sees healing in his own life or in the lives of others, he is seeing the goodness of God. He is seeing the gentleness, the kindness, the concern of God. And it's that love of God, the goodness of God, that draws a man to salvation. That's right. Very few times have I preached, hellfire and damnation and these kind of things in preaching evangelistic sermons. I usually preach about the goodness of God because it's the goodness of God that draws people to God. And the goodness of God is demonstrated in God's willingness to give gifts of healings. See? And so it's a wonderful thing. And especially all of us, led by the Spirit, can minister healing. But if you're called as an evangelist, then you really need to see this power or this anointing, this blessing of God flowing in your life and ministry so that you can move your ministry. That's right, because the nature of healing is evangelism. You know, it's evangelistic. Now, all healing is done by Spirit. That's right. You see, in biblical terms, life is Spirit. In biological terms, spirit is life. That's right. When the biologists talk about life, they're really talking about spirit. That's right. Because what gives life to everything is spirit. That's right. Now, not everything has an eternal life spirit. The spirit that's within animals or the spirit that's within plants or insects is not an eternal life spirit. like the spirit of man. There's a differentiation between the two. That's right. The spirit of animals was never meant to hold the Holy Spirit, and it never will. But the spirit of man is an eternal spirit. It's an eternal spirit. But in biological terms, spirit is life. Now, in terms of physics, spirit is energy. That's right. The essence of energy is light. The basic building block of all energy is light. And it says that God is light. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And in verse 4 it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not." That's right. God is spirit. God is light. God is life. See, he's all these things. He is what causes the whole universe to hold together, not only from a spiritual point of view, but also from a physical point of view. That's right. His nature is light and life. And he holds the universe together by his power. You see, from a physics perspective, it takes spirit to transfer energy into matter. Healing for man is done by either the spirit of man, by demon spirits, or the spirit of God. That's right. It can come from three different sources. Most of us, in fact, all of us, from the moment we were born, we had energy, we had spirit within our physical bodies, the spirit of man. And that spirit of man had a limited capacity to heal us. That's right. And it's the spirit of man working within the body of man that brought about healing. For instance, if you cut your finger, what was required to take the platelets and everything else from the blood and change and transform them into skin? What was required to change and transform them into skin and to heal that cut and to knit that thing back together again? What was required was spiritual power. Was spirit power. That spirit power came from the spirit of man. That's why a man dies. When a man dies, his spirit goes back to God. Why can't a body just continue on living? Because it has no spirit in it. Because the life of man is spirit. The life of man is spirit. See? And you'll remember when we read Luke 8:55 talking about the spirit of man, when Jesus raised that little girl from the dead, it says her spirit came back into her, and that's what gave her little body life. See? Healing is done by spirit. Now, all of us have been healed by the spirit of man over many different things that have happened in our bodies. It requires no faith, and yet it is limited in power. That's right. Now, some of you have had the experience, or some people have had the experience over the years, of being healed by faith healers or witch doctors. Psychic surgery, some of these other things that go on in the evil or the devil spirit field, the evil spirit field, the demon field. They do it. They heal by spirit, but it's demon spirits that do the healing. It requires no faith on the part of the person being healed, and it's very, very limited. And whenever someone is healed by a demon spirit, say through a witch doctor's incantation or through what they call psychic surgery in the Philippines and some of these other places, when this is done by spirit, the devil always puts demon spirits in that body that he heals. So there's a price paid by the person who gets their healing. They may get healing from cancer, but then they go insane 2 years later because of the demons that were put in there while the cancer was being healed. That's right. But healing also comes from the Spirit of God. When healing comes from the Spirit of God, it requires faith on the part of the person being healed, and it is unlimited in power. Spirit of man requires no faith and it's limited. Spirit of demons requires no faith and is very limited. But the Spirit of God requires faith and is unlimited. See? There's two ways that God heals. God can heal just in His own sovereign will. That's right. That's right. There can be healings that occur where nobody places hands on people, where nobody prays over people, where nobody appears to do anything to minister to them, but the presence of God is so powerful in that place that people just get healed. That's right. That's God sovereignly healing people. Then there's another way that God heals people, and that is by faith. That is by faith, and that is through many times a minister or ministers ministering by faith, like we saw Peter and John at the Temple Gate Beautiful. That's right. By faith, because of spiritual knowledge and with spiritual utterance, and they were walking in grace and love, they were able to minister healing to that man and bring that gift of healing into his life. You see, the gift comes from God. All you do as a minister is deliver the gift. And if you have no gift of healing to give someone, then you can't minister a gift of healing. You can't minister the gift of healing. You have to know by revelation that God has given you a gift to give to them. Peter said, "Such as I have, give I thee." Peter knew that the Holy Spirit had given him the gift of healing in that situation to give to that person. See? That doesn't mean that Peter had the gift of healing to give to everyone, everywhere as he went. That's right. No, you only can give a gift of healing as you are led by the Spirit to give that gift of healing, and the Spirit will always be very specific about who is to receive that gift. Jesus went down to the pool of Bethesda. There was hundreds of people there who were sick, who needed healing. Why did he only minister healing to one man? Because the Holy Spirit was leading him, and the Holy Spirit had given him a gift to give to that one man. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. And Jesus taught us how to be led by the Spirit. So we only give gifts if the Holy Spirit has given us that gift to give. And we know that by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits, by revelation. I wait many, many, many times. Now, I can pray for somebody to get healed at any time, but I don't minister healing until I have been given a gift by the Holy Spirit in order to give it in that situation. There is a difference between praying for sick people and ministering healing. You can pray for sick people at any time, at any place. That's right. But you can only minister healing. You can only give the gift of healing when you, by revelation, have received the gift in order to give it to that person. That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. There's a difference between the two. And people can get blessed when you pray for them. When you pray for the sick, they can get healed. That's right. These things happen. But you can't give a gift of healing. You can't give a manifestation gift or a revelation gift of healing, like it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, unless you have received it by revelation and you know you're supposed to give it to that person. And this I've seen happen time and time and time and time and time again as I've ministered amongst God's people. That's right. You see, it's God's determination who gets the gifts of healings. That's right. It's not up to you or up to me. It's up to Him. All we're responsible to do is be led by the Spirit and do what He says. If He's got a gift for them, then you'll receive it and give it to them. But if He doesn't have a gift for them, then you won't receive it by revelation. And all you need to do then is just to pray for the person. That's all you can do in that situation is pray for their healing out of your soul by your faith. See, because you can't operate spiritual faith unless you got revelation to operate spiritual faith. Now, what can be wrong with a person? I've been criticized in the past for praying for people that apparently looked all right by their flesh. You know, they looked all right. They looked like they were doing all right. And people criticized me for praying for them. I will tell you that when it comes to healing, medically, this is true. Most diseases do not become symptomatic until they are 75 to 85% developed in the body. That's right. You will not detect cancer in your body until it is very, very far along in its development as a disease in your body. It just doesn't become symptomatic. You don't see the symptoms of it. Many, many, many other diseases are like this. They can lie dormant within the body for years. See? So I'll minister to some, I'll pray for somebody, I'll minister to them, and I'll command diseases to be destroyed in their body that they never felt the symptoms from. But that doesn't change the revelation, because I know those diseases are in there because the Lord has showed me them by revelation. I command them to be destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ, and then they never become symptomatic because they were destroyed before they ever became symptomatic. Glory to God. That's right. Medically, this is true. Most diseases do not manifest themselves in terms of symptoms until they are well along in their development. That's right. That's right. See? So just never get upset when you pray for somebody and the Lord tells you to command cancer out of their body and they say, I don't have cancer. Well, they say, you know what I say to them? I say, you don't now. But you did 5 minutes ago, because the Lord showed it to me by revelation. I commanded it to be destroyed, and now it's destroyed. Now you won't have it. That's right, glory to God. And you and I are walking around with many, many problems in our bodies. That's right. We all need to get healed. We all need to get healed. We all need to get prayed for time and time again. Because we live in a world that's constantly trying to damage us. It's constantly trying to kill us. And you know what? If you don't need prayer for something in your body, I'll bet you need prayer for something in your soul. That's right. Lucy, come here, dear. I have my little daughter Lucy with me here in the taping session. Lucy's 7 years old. Now tell me, Lucy, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
That's right, you do. I know you do. Praise the Lord. And here she is. She's smiling. She's got her red hair. She's got her green shirt on. She looks so pretty. And she's very embarrassed right now because I'm talking to her about her on this tape. And do you love Jesus Christ, right,
mm-hmm.
Lucy? You do? Can you speak in tongues for the people on the tape? Go ahead.
Shantara Kantara Shantara Kantara Shantara Kantara.
Good, 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 good. You see, Lucy is a spirit being. She's a spirit being. And the Holy Spirit dwells within her spirit. So I know that there's nothing wrong with her spiritually. But could there be something wrong with her soul? Sure. Could there be little things in her heart that's bothering her? That need to be prayed for, that need to be ministered to? Sure. Or could there be a problem in her physical body that needs to be prayed for, needs to be ministered to? Sure. That's right. Go ahead and sit down, dear. Thank you. You see, people are threefold beings. They're threefold beings. And whenever you minister to somebody, you always ask the Lord about the condition of their soul. Does their soul need to be prayed for? Is there things in their soul that need to be prayed for? You know, Jesus said that he came to heal the brokenhearted. That's right. And many people walk around with great frustration or great pain in their soul because of things that have happened to them in the past or things that didn't happen to them in the past that they've carried around with them, and it's just been like a tremendous burden. And one of the things that we want to minister to in ministering healing is not only minister to the physical body, but minister to their souls. That's right. And then we ask the Holy Spirit, does he dwell within their spirits or not? You know, are they Christian or not? Does he dwell within their spirits? And if they're not, then when we're done praying for them or ministering to them, we can lead them to salvation. See? So we want to minister to somebody in their spirit and in their soul and in their body. We want to do a complete job when we minister healing. That's right. When we minister healing. And I'm going to be teaching you here very briefly, very quickly here in this class, how to minister healing, how to do these things in a very consistent and wonderful manner using the formula of grace and love times spiritual utterance plus spiritual knowledge plus spiritual faith equals spiritual power. That's right. But we're talking about ministering healing right now. And that what brings healing to the person's body or to their soul or to their spirit is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's right. See? And there will be three things that you can do when you're ministering healing, as you're led by the Spirit. You can take something out of their soul or their spirit that needs to be taken out. For instance, if they have demons in their soul, you can take those out in the name of Jesus Christ. If they have demons in their body, you can take those out in the name of Jesus Christ. You can take out diseases. You can take out viruses. You can take out poisons. You can also, even in their soul, you can take out hurt. You know, you can take out guilt. If guilt has been afflicting them, as you minister to them, as you're led by the Spirit, you can take that guilt out in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's something in there that's poisoning or breaking that heart. See? You can also put something in. You can put something in. You can put something into that physical body. If there's a broken bone, you can knit that bone together, and that bone can be knitted together in the name of Jesus Christ as you command it to be knitted. See, you can put something in. Maybe they have a defective physical heart. You know, they have defective heart valves. You can command new heart valves to grow in there in the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe they have a deformity in their body, in their legs, see, that the Lord shows you by revelation. You can command new hips. You can command new leg bones. You can command new kneecaps. You can command new feet to come to pass. That's right. I ministered to ministered healing to one boy one time, had his complete leg twisted around backwards by polio. Took that leg, commanded it to straighten out in the name of Jesus Christ, just took the whole thing around and shaped it the way it was supposed to be, and within minutes the boy was running, where before he had been a hopeless cripple. Within minutes he was out running. He ran home. Glory to God. That's right. You see, this we can do. We can take something out that shouldn't be in there. We can put something in that needs to be there. Or we can fix something. That's right. If the Lord shows you that they have a problem in their stomach, say, stomach, I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And that stomach, right before your very eyes, by revelation, it'll become normal. And the pain will go away and they'll be healed. That's right. That's right. That's how it works. See? Man's a threefold being. You can minister to his spirit by leading him to salvation. You can minister to his soul in healing the brokenhearted. And you can minister to his body. See, the three parts of man you can minister to in a ministering situation when you lay hands on someone. And this is how to bring the complete deliverance, the complete healing. We don't just want to heal people's bodies. We also want them to receive healing in their souls and to receive deliverance in their spirits by becoming saved, by believing on Jesus Christ. Remember, it said in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus' ministry, one of the things about Jesus' ministry was to heal the brokenhearted. That quote that he quoted in Luke 4:18, coming from Isaiah 61, that God anointed him to heal the brokenhearted. That's one of the things that we want to do in our ministry of healing, is not just to heal the bodies, but to heal the souls. See? And sometimes I command love to come into somebody's life, or I command peace to come into somebody's life because they've been without love, or they've been without peace. See? And I let myself be led by the Spirit, and whatever the Spirit tells me to put in there, I put in there. Whatever the Spirit tells me to take out, I take out. Whatever the Spirit tells me to fix, I fix. That's right. By the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, using my spiritual authority and being his representative. That's right. Using spiritual faith. And the reason why I can use spiritual faith is because I have revelation. That's right. When the revelation comes, it automatically gives me the permission to use spiritual faith. Glory to God. And when I use spiritual faith, I don't ask God for something. I command it because he has authorized me to command it to come to pass. That's right. And he will do it as I command it to come to pass, because he has authorized me to do it. That's right. This is his idea. This is his idea. This is his setup. And when you operate these principles, you will be astonished at the power of God, because you will command things, and right under your hands, you will feel things happen. You will feel things happen in that physical body. You will see things happen in their physical bodies. You'll see things happen in their lives dramatically right in front of you. As you receive the revelation and as you command it to come to pass, you will see dramatic physical, mental, emotional changes in people's lives right on the spot as you deliver these gifts of healings. That's right. It's awesome. And I'll tell you, the people will just be electrified. It is so powerful in evangelism. It is so powerful, the ministry of healing. And this we need to do not only for evangelism, but just to heal each other, just to keep each other blessed. That's right. Glory to God. You see, when healing occurs, it's a restoration to health. Sometimes a cause is removed and symptom leaves as the spirit of man restores them. But and when a healing is instantaneous, it's also a miracle. That's right. Healings, just because a healing is not instantaneous, does not mean it did not occur. That's right. Because when a healing is instantaneous, then it's a miracle or a miraculous healing as well as just a healing. But I've seen many, many times, many, many times where I have ministered to people and the symptoms went away within, 24 to 72 hours. That's right. Rarely has it taken longer than 30 days for the symptoms to go away. Many, many times I get instantaneous healings, but not every healing is instantaneous. I'm just led by the Holy Spirit. I am not responsible for the results, neither are you. You are led by the Holy Spirit. Your responsibility is to believe the revelation that He has told you. You believe it, you command it to come to pass in the name of Jesus Christ, and if it happens instantly, praise the Lord. If it takes 24 hours, praise the Lord. If it takes three weeks, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It only took 3 weeks that it didn't keep that person sick for 6 months and finally kill them. See? That's right. I'd rather have the symptoms go away in 3 weeks than have those symptoms stay around for 6 months and finally kill the person. That's right. So I don't worry about what happens. I just know things are going to happen. When I command revelation in the name of Jesus Christ, I know that I can bring healing to their body. I know that I can bring healing to their soul. And I know that I can bring healing to their spirit as I lead them to salvation and as they accept Jesus as the Lord in their life. Gifts of healings and workings of miracles are the result of you being led by the Spirit as you walk in grace and love, and as you speak spiritual utterance, and as you receive spiritual knowledge, and as you operate spiritual faith. These manifestations, these gifts of the Spirit, of workings of miracles and gifts of healings, come to pass in your life and in your ministry amongst God's people. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, again it says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another the working of miracles. To another the working of miracles. Each one of us can flow in all 9 of the evidences or the gifts of the Spirit. But workings of miracles, we want to talk about workings of miracles now for a few minutes. Workings of miracles is listed 5th in the listing of the gifts to show that it's by God's grace and His free willingness that He does miracles in the world. 5 is the number for grace. And every time there's a miraculous, every time there's a working of miraculous power, it's by grace. See, it's totally by grace. That's right, that you're able to do this. A working, a miracle, is an any time there is a working of power that supersedes natural laws. Any time there is a working of power that supersedes natural laws, that is a miracle. Miracles are done by the manipulation of energy and matter from a physics point of view. Every time you speak in tongues, Every time you speak in tongues, and I trust by now as you've listened to these tapes and been studying your workbook and you've done what I've instructed you to do by the power of the Holy Spirit, now you're speaking in tongues every day. You're speaking in tongues throughout the day. You're speaking in tongues even perhaps while you're listening to this tape. You're speaking in tongues much. But I'll tell you that every time you speak in tongues, it's a miracle. That's right. Because there is a law of learning that says you must learn a language in order for you to be able to speak it. Every time you speak in tongues, you speak a language of men or of angels by the Spirit of God, the utterance coming by the Spirit of God from the Holy Spirit, and you speak it perfectly. You speak it perfectly, and yet you have never gone through school and learned that language. That is a miracle. That breaks the law of learning, which is a law that's absolutely true in the natural realm. That breaks the law of learning. Every time you speak in tongues, it's a miracle. Every time you speak in tongues, it's a miracle. Go ahead, right now, speak in tongues as you're listening to me. Here, go ahead, speak in tongues right now. Shanta la karieta la kota makashita marakate makashinta marakate makashita. Stop. Now stop. That is a miracle. That is a miracle. That is a demonstration of God's miracle-working power. It's a demonstration of God's grace, because every time a miracle occurs, according to the Spirit of God, it is a demonstration of God's grace. There's nothing people do to earn it. There's nothing people do to become worthy of it. They simply receive it as an act of God's grace. God, in His great love and great power and great everything, just pours out His miracle-working power, and He blesses His people. That's right. He pours it out. And we receive it, and we minister it, and we are blessed by it, as we flow in the gifts of the Spirit, flow in that river of life, and we see the power of God in manifestation. Glory to God. See, our God is a miracle-working God. And His miracles, everything that God has ever done, has always been in the realm of the miraculous. Our God is a miracle-working God. When He created the heavens and the earth, He created them by staggering miracles. When He set man upon the earth, He set man upon the earth by a whole series of wonderful miracles. When He called the Israel, you know, when He called the children of Israel as a nation, He did it by one miracle after another. When He brought them out of Egypt, He did one miracle after another. And Jesus' life and ministry was marked even from the very moment of His conception and His birth, all the way through His death and resurrection, was marked by one miracle after another. In the book of Acts, the apostles in the early church moved the gospel of the kingdom of God all over the then known world by a series of miracles upon miracles upon miracles upon miracles. Every move of the Spirit of God since then has been characterized and demonstrated by miraculous power. Our God is a miracle-working God. He's a God of miracles today. He's a God of miracle. He's a God of Bible deliverance today. And for those of us who believe that He is, that He is a present tense reality, that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, for those of us who believe that and who flow in that gifting and that anointing of the Spirit, we see miracle after miracle in our lives. And not because of our goodness, because if it was because of our goodness, we'd never have a one. That's right. Because none of us are good enough to receive God's grace and power. But we see it because of His grace. We see it because of His divine love. And we simply allow Him to work in our lives, and we endeavor to align with His will and to listen to Him and to follow Him, and then He brings these miracles to pass. See? That's right. Signs and wonders are miracles. But not all signs and wonders that occur because of someone commanding them to come to pass. God sovereignly does miracles just because He's a miracle-working God. But he also does miracles when we command them to come to pass by spiritual faith, because of what we've received by spiritual knowledge, and because of what has been evidenced or manifested through us by spiritual utterance. See, there's two ways that God's work. God works sovereignly on his own, and then he works through his people as they follow the formula for spiritual power. That's right. Healings wins individuals, but miraculous healings win multitudes. That's right. The great ministries of John G. Lake and T.L. Osborne and Reinhard Bonnke and all these others, great men of God who have won hundreds and thousands to the Lord Jesus Christ, their ministries have all been fueled and ignited by the miraculous power of God. And you and I can operate in that same power as well. Because I'll tell you, as many as Reinhard Bonnke wins, there's still millions and millions and millions more people out there. His ministry has only touched a tiny fraction of the total number of unsaved people in the world. You know, your ministry needs to be as anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit as his is. Your ministry needs to be as anointed as the power of God in T.L. Osborne's ministry, or John G. Lake's ministry, or any of these other men of God who have blessed the world. Oral Roberts. See, your ministry and mine needs to be anointed with the miraculous, just like these men's were. And if we will simply allow the Spirit to lead us in spiritual utterance, allow the Spirit to lead us in spiritual knowledge, and then allow the Spirit to lead us in operation of spiritual faith and command things to come to pass, we will see miracles. We will see healings, just like all these men of God had, just like all the apostles had, just like Jesus had in his ministry from his conception even through his resurrection, just like all the men of the God in the Old Testament had, who were led by the Spirit. Glory to God. You see, miracles will move the power of God. They will bring the demonstration of the Spirit into the physical realm so that people have something to really believe in and really lock on to. Look at Mark chapter 3. The miracle working power of God is not operated solely by the arbitrary will of God, where God just does things. But as we trust Him, as we believe Him, as we operate this spiritual formula that I've set before you, this formula for spiritual power, God will work and He will bring miracles to pass in our lives, because this is His will. This is His will. See? And here we want to look at some miracles that were brought to pass by commands, as men or were led by the Spirit, commanded the power of God to work. Here in Mark chapter 3, Jesus, our example, in verse 5 says, "And when he looked round about on them with anger," this was looking round about on the temple leaders in the synagogue, "there was a man which had a withered hand. He looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand." He commanded the man to stretch forth his hand. And then he stretched it out, and it was restored whole as the other. It was a miraculous healing that was brought to pass by a command. See, after Jesus had the knowledge, and he was operating spiritual utterance, he commanded that healing to come to pass. He commanded it. See, he commanded it. In Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. You must command miracles to happen. As you have received word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, as you've received spiritual knowledge, now speak to it and command it to come to pass. That's right. Command it to come to pass. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 38, "And he rose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever." This is a fever demon that was in this woman. "And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever." He rebuked the fever. He rebuked that fever. He commanded it to leave. He rebuked it out of that body, commanded it to leave, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. You see, that's how you minister healing. As you receive that knowledge by spiritual knowledge, then you command it to come to pass. You command those demons to come out. You command that thing to be taken care of. You see, you can take something out, you can put something in, or you can fix something. That's right. And when it happens instantaneously, then it's a miraculous healing. And this happened instantaneously. It says, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Hallelujah. I bet they were hungry about that time, needed somebody to minister to them. That's right. Had to get his wife's mother healed so she could cook the food, make the dinner. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. In verse 1 he says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You see, you cast it out. And the word cast out, you know, you're taking a demon out by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. You command it to go. You throw it out. That's what the word here is. It's the Greek word ekbalo, which means to throw out. You reach in there by the power of the Holy Spirit. You grab that demon by the scruff of his neck and you throw him out of there. That's right. You throw him out. That's the authority that you have. This is how to walk in spiritual power. You have to be aggressive. You have to be confident. You have to be humble to the Lord, but you have to be aggressive and confident when dealing with the enemy or when dealing with disease or when ministering healing. Because just by your very manner, people's faith will grow. That's right. If you will speak boldly and confidently and act confidently, then people will become confident when they're around you. On the other hand, if you're uncertain about the power of God, if you're uncertain about the things of God, then that'll tear down people's faith rather than build it. That's right. If you're going to walk up in front of God's people and minister healing, you've got to act confident. You've got to speak bold. You've got to open your mouth. Now, maybe on the inside you may have little fears, but just open your mouth and act confident anyways. Tell those fears to go away. Tell them they're alive from hell, and you're going to do this anyways. Act like a representative of Jesus Christ. Open your mouth and speak boldly. Glory to God. Jesus gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Look what he said in verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah. I never ask for money when I minister healing or when I operate any of the gifts of the Spirit, prophecy or anything else. Never, ever, ever, ever ask for money. That's right. Because I have freely received. What do I have that I haven't received freely? That's right. I have received freely and I give it out. That's right. Now, if somebody wants to bless my life in ministry and give me money and to help me to be able to help others, that's another thing. But I never charge for it. I never, ever charge for it. I never charge people a fee to prophesy over them or to minister healing to them. That's from the devil. That's not the true God. See, don't do that. Don't do that. Freely you have received, freely give. That's right. And he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Cast out devils. Now that I've received this from the Word of God, I know that it's His will according to the Word. Now I just have to receive the specific revelation of how to minister to this specific person. See? Just because it says heal the sick doesn't mean specific revelation to minister or to give them a gift of healing. See? And this is according as the Spirit wills. I allow myself to be led. See? That's right. But when He leads me, then I boldly follow Him. I boldly follow Him. You see, there is many, many things that you can do in the spirit realm. There's many, many things that you can do in the spirit realm. Let me show you some of the more astonishing ones. Look at Luke chapter 4. You know, Moses parted the Red Sea. Joshua stopped the sun and the moon. Philip, the evangelist, was moved. He was transported from one place to another. His physical body was moved from one place to another by the Spirit of God. There is many spirit. See, as you learn to be led by the Spirit, you are not limited by physical laws. See, you're not limited by physical laws at all if you will be led by the Spirit. See, Jesus commanded the wind and the waves to stop, and they stopped immediately. See, Jesus is our example that we can walk in His steps. Look at this situation of here in Luke chapter 4. It was the opening of His ministry. We've talked about verses 16, 17, and 18, where He opened His ministry and proclaimed these wonderful words and proclaimed that this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, verse 21. And it says, "And all they in the synagogue," verse 28, "when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust Him out of the city and led Him unto the brow of the hill upon whereon their city was built, that they might cast Him down headlong." They were going to throw Him off a cliff. "But He, passing through the midst of them, went His way." He went His way. What happened? Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, dematerialized His own body and walked through the midst of them. Now, we know by molecular structure that nothing is really solid, that everything is a compaction of molecules, and there's relatively great spaces in between molecules. It's very possible, very, very, very possible for one molecular being to pass through another molecular being. That's right, because of the breakdown of the molecular structure. Here, Jesus, by the Spirit of God, dematerialized His body to the point where He could pass through them, the midst of them, and go on His way. How do you explain it? I know how to explain it from physics. How do you do it? You're led by the Spirit. How do you do it? Like anything else, you're led by the Spirit. That's right. We've seen situations where cars have passed literally through other cars to avoid accidents. How? By the Spirit of God. That's right. It's not God's will for you to be killed prematurely. That's right. It's not God's will. And if He needs to, and you're led by the Spirit, you can have swords or bullets pass through your body and never touch you. That's right. Because of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. You can be driving in a car and have another car come at you and have it never touch you by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ as you're being led by the Spirit. Glory to God. Do you realize why I'm teaching you this now in the 19th session of the tape, 19th hour of the tape, and not in the first hour? Because in the first hour, you wouldn't have believed me saying any of this stuff. But here it is in the Word of God. You see, our God is a miracle-working God. He is the God of physics. He is the God who created the heavens and the earth, and there's no limiting to His power. If you and I will just be led by the Spirit, there is no limiting to His power. If He needs you to move you from one side of the earth to the other side of the earth, He can do it. That's right. If you will be led by the Spirit, and you will allow the Spirit to move you, you will allow the Spirit to work in your life. That's right. He can show you things. He can take you places. He can do things in your life that mortal man, by the physical five senses, couldn't even do. That's right. That's right. And we're seeing more and more of these experiences in our lives as we learn that the power of God is available. As we learn the power of God is available. It's going to take a miracle-working God to reach all the nations of the earth in these end times. And you and I have to be free enough in our minds to allow the Spirit of God to lead us, to allow the Spirit of God to work in us, to the end that He's able to maximize the potential and the effect of our ministries as we walk by the Spirit of God. So be free in the Spirit. Be free in the Spirit. You know how miracles occur? By the hearing of faith. Look at Galatians chapter 3. There's so much potential in you and I because we've been filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. There is so much potential in you and I because we've been filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. Nothing in the physical realm is impossible. That's right. Nothing in the spirit realm is impossible, because with our God all things are possible. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How do you do miracles? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, verse 5 of Galatians chapter 3, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How do I do miracles? How do I minister effectively in the name of Jesus Christ? By the hearing of faith. That's right. Not by the works of the law. Not by the works of the law, but by the hearing of the faith, by walking in the freedom that's in Christ Jesus, allowing myself to be led by the Spirit, and then speaking words as I'm led by the Spirit that build faith, speaking rhemas, allowing my voice to be used by the Holy Spirit to the end that I speak words that build faith in the hearts and lives of the people to whom I'm ministering. And then as the Holy Spirit gives me revelation, as the Holy Spirit shows me His will, I command that will to come to pass. I command it because He has authorized me to command it. He has authorized me. He has given me spiritual authority to exercise and use to bring His miracle-working power into the world, whether it's in healing or whether it's in workings of miracles. Whatever is needed in that situation, He has authorized me to use His power because I'm filled with His Spirit and I am a submitted vessel unto Him.